Welcome to another episode of Backlash Podcast. Nope, not it. Sorry, my bad. Welcome to another episode of Muskie Mondays with the Team Rhino Outdoors Muskie Fishing Podcast. If I'm not mistaken, this is now 2 weeks in a row. It's a new milestone. Never hit 2 weeks in a row on this podcast, so here we are firing up another episode. And I'm going to see if I can't do three. Three is the goal to start with, and then we'll move on from there. Anyways, this week I'm going to talk to Gus Manti. Many of you may know him from Suggs Fishing or the Muskies on Tap podcast. So that's my guest this week. We're going to talk gear. That's what we do every week. We're going to talk gear, talk about first muskies, and then some off-the-beaten-path baits that may help you catch some more muskies this season. We'll talk about that, talk about rods and reels and, you know, some new gear for this season. So that's kind of what we do here on this podcast. We talk gear to help you catch more muskies. And speaking of gear, I want to thank everybody that came out to visit us at the Minnesota Muskie Expo this past weekend. Always a great time coming to Minnesota, although I say that and it's not even Minnesota Muskie Expo didn't even happen yet. This is recorded before that, so I'm assuming it was a good time in the Minnesota Muskie Expo. Let's hope that my assumptions are correct. Looking forward to seeing everybody at the Wisconsin Muskie Expo March 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's this coming weekend. If my math on all of this stuff is correct. I've been so far ahead of recording stuff for multiple podcasts, trying to prepare for these last 2 weeks going down the stretch here for Muskie Expo season. And this is it. This is the last one, Wisconsin Muskie Expo, this coming weekend. So if you're listening to this on release day, definitely check us out at the Wisconsin Muskie Expo. I'll mention this again. If you're new to the podcast, hit the subscribe button. So that way, when this inconsistent podcast comes out, you're aware of it. I'm going to try to make it more consistent this season, but for now, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any episodes. And if you're looking for gear, if you can't make it out to the next last show, make sure you check us out online. It'd be www.teamrhinooutdoors.com. We are your source for custom muskie gear, and we have more than anybody else. Let's just say that. We have gear upon gear upon gear, exclusive colors to Team Rhino Outdoors. You know, if you're looking for Bulldogs and Cowgirls and IC7s, those are new this year. Even you might even find a Quad Dog yet when this episode comes out. We might have some of those as well. So check all that stuff out on our website. You're looking for St. Croix rods, Chaos Tackle rods. You're looking for the newest from Musky Innovations. We have it. And reels. You want some Quantum. You want some Abu Garcia. You want some Pen. Okuma, you know, check us out for all that stuff. And last, I'll talk to you about nets. If you want some nets, Clam, Frable, RS nets, check us out there. And we can even, those are the ones that we stock. We can even get you a Drifter Tackle net if you're looking for a Drifter XL. Great net muskie option as well. Check out TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. That's it. I got nothing else to say. No advertisements to do. Let's just jump into this conversation and talk some gear with Gus. My guest this week is Gus Manti, Suggs Fishing out of Eagle River, and you may know him from the Sweet Sounds of Muskies on Tap podcast. Gus, I'm going to have to tell you, you're going to have to share this podcast to all your friends to try to help out my struggling little podcast that I have here. You guys are far more successful with this, with yours, than I am with this one. This one is, it's a little bit, it's in trouble, all right? It's circling the drain, and I'm hoping to pull it out of the drain with you, so you better save it. It's all up to you.
All right, Jeff. Thanks. Thank you so much for having me on, and I don't know about that. It might just be, well, when was the last time you had the Team Rhino podcast going?
Well, aside from last week, because this is going to be 2 weeks in a row. First off, I don't know that I've ever done 2 weeks in a row with this podcast, but this will be 2 weeks in a row. And so other than that, last week, it was 14 months previously. That was the last time I had a podcast. It's very difficult to grow a podcast when you put them out once every 14 months.
Right. And you know, now running Muskies on Tap podcast with my brother and friend Brian, that I definitely know that it's hard to juggle editing and definitely with your business and all that stuff. So I know the struggles there on getting them out consistently. You know, having them once a week is a big thing to do, big task.
It is. It's a commitment. And so hopefully I'm committed to it. We're going to see. This is, like I said, this is 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be exciting stuff. So I would recommend anybody to go check out Muskies on Tap podcast. These fine young fellows do a great job. I call them young because, quite honestly, I if I would have started pretty early, I wouldn't even have to start that early. I would have started in college. Like, Gus could literally be my kid. So when I say young kids, he's that way, right, Gus?
Yep. I'm pretty young. I'm still in my roaring 20s.
All right. Well, Gus, enjoy your roaring 20s and enjoy your roaring 30s, because one thing nobody's ever told me, nobody ever told me back in the day, was like to try to enjoy those times. Like, you think, oh yeah, as you get older, you get more financially stable and all that stuff. And most of that is true. But the only thing they don't tell you is like other bad things tend to happen in your life. It's not all fun and games. Enjoy your 20s and 30s, folks. If you're listening and you're younger than, me, I think I'm going to be 47 here pretty quick. Make sure you enjoy that time. But enough bad news. Let's talk about musky fishing. Let's talk about baits, actually, because that's what we do on this podcast. We're going to talk about muskies and baits and, gear that you can use to help catch more fish. But first, I want to start off, Gus. Let's talk about what got you bit with the musky bug. You remember your first musky? How was that?
Yeah. I mean, it was quite a long time ago. So back probably 18 or so years ago, my parents got a place up here in Eagle River on the Eagle River chain. And my brother and I, we fished, but we didn't fish, a ton. When we got the place, we would always cast off the dock. We'd bobber fish off the dock. I think a few years down the line, we got a little 16-foot aluminum fishing boat that we would take to about 3 spots on the lake. And then once we're done fishing those 3, we would go in and then go do other shenanigans like tubing and skiing and all that stuff. But I want to say, other than maybe encountering a muskie beforehand on the dock that ate a perch or a bluegill that we were reeling in, I think the first one that I ever caught was probably around a 30, 32 incher, incidentally casting if you know those tiny little beetle spinners that you use pretty much for panfish. Like, I caught one, I think it was opening walleye fishing weekend in May, and we were hammering walleyes off the dock, but I hooked into definitely a much larger fish on, I think, 4-pound test and an ultralight, and we were freaking out. I think it was, I probably had to call to my dad if he wasn't there at the dock to go get the net, and that's how I got the first one. I don't know how it didn't snap off, but from there on, we kind of graduated into using spoons and spinner baits on more like bass and pike gear. And from there, it just kind of slowly progressed into fishing more spots on the chain, and then eventually growing out of the chain and going to new bodies of water and finding all the great things that Biles and Oneida and all the other surrounding counties have to offer up here in northern Wisconsin, and just keep chasing these toothy critters, the phantoms, as I like to say sometimes, because they just appear and disappear as fast as, I don't know, it's crazy. It's just a great, great fish, and it got me hooked a long, long time ago, and then it progressed into now, where I'm out here guiding in northern Wisconsin and running the Muskies on Tap podcast.
Quickly, let's talk about the guide service. If somebody's looking to book a trip with you, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me, and my phone number is probably the easiest. If you call and I don't answer, definitely leave a voicemail or shoot me a text at 920-264-3816. Otherwise, you can find my Instagram and Facebook is Suggs Fishing. I think Facebook is Suggs Fishing Guide Service. And the website is www.suggsfishing.com. Suggs is spelled S-U-G-S, which just the Sug part is actually my name, Gus, backwards. I must have signed a few preschool photos back in the day with all my lettering in reverse. So that's how I got that nickname a long time ago.
That's awesome. Looking back on the first muskie, that's always the one usually that gets you really hooked, really started on it. It always whenever I think about my first muskie, it always makes me think how much more mystique there was within muskies than what I have right now. Like, how much less you knew. But at that point, when you catch your first one, how the addiction grows. You got to have more reels, more rods, more baits, more everything. First bait I ever caught a muskie on was a Slippery Sam. They don't even necessarily make the Slippery Sam right now. I think recently I learned that there's like a some of the parts used to make them are still available. And so there's something available similar. But, you know, like at that point, I went out and I bought like 10 of them, you know, and you had piles of them. But now it's a bait that I would never even think to use anymore. It's just weird how like we all go through these like cycles of baits we like to throw and you know, certain gear we like to use and how we kind of fall into little ruts. So it makes you wonder, like if you went back and you know, you talked about throwing some spoons, like if you threw some spoons now, like how many muskies would you catch? Because I guarantee you there's not many muskie anglers throwing spoons.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, the addiction is real and old baits kind of are they're just tried and true for a reason, you know, especially if nobody's been using them for a while. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. We didn't catch very many big ones. I think we maybe landed one over 40 on a spoon. I know that we raised a couple of really big ones on spinner baits, but pretty much on spoons, we were hammering the old classic chain 34, and they definitely worked. And I'd say the last 3 years, I try and just bring it out again, and it hasn't caught me a fish in a while, but I haven't given it the runtime, and it's definitely still moved plenty of fish. I mean, you know, I was still using it in the summertime, but you know, a lot of times when we got bit on those spoons was typically June. So I don't know if there's something about that flash or the way it moves. I mean, it's a pike magnet too, so you better be prepared for that as well. But yeah, going back to old baits is definitely a good thing. I mean, there's reasons like baits like the Bulldog and Suic are just so good because they're just fish catching machine.
Yeah, definitely. So Gus, let me ask you, do you remember the very first spot you caught a muskie from where you were intentionally targeting muskies?
Intentionally. I mean, I think I do. I mean, it's for sure here on the chain out in the boat. I mean, I can't say I was intentionally targeting muskies to the start when I was using spoons, because we just already were catching a bunch of pike. And I know that the first time I actually used a muskie rod and used a MEPS 88, I hooked up on this weed point on the chain that I totally thought it was a muskie, and I pulled it in and it was a 38 inch pike. And that was the first fish I ever caught on a muskie setup. So I was indifferent about the catch, because it's like, oh, of course I'm targeting muskies now. And then boom, here's my biggest pike to date. Just so happened to be, but you know, first spot. Yeah, probably. Well, I don't want a spot burn here, but because I do guide out in the chain.
Yeah, you don't have to burn a spot. What I was going to go at is, have you ever caught another muskie off that spot?
Oh, yes, I do. I do still fish those spots on the chain frequently. They do ebb and flow after chatting with some of my friends in league or some people who have fish the area, you know, just as long as we have or longer, they know that they're good producing spots, and we try and hit them, you know, every year and just see which one's producing. Cause that's the thing in the chain. There's so many spots out there because the lakes are, you know, fairly sizable, and there's a bunch of them. And, you know, I definitely find that some spots are better than others every other year. And I just like to revisit them. And yeah, like, you know, the old spots that we did fish back in the 16 foot aluminum boat, when I was saying that we'd fish three spots in the morning and head in, I actually still fish those three spots because they are some of the better on that lake probably.
I remember the first spot I caught a muskie off of, and how I fished the lake enough, and I would go back and I would hit the spot, and many, many, many years go by, and literally like a couple seasons ago, not last season, I don't think, season before, I'm fishing with my daughter and a buddy of mine, and I'm like, well, we'll fish this spot. This is where I caught my very first muskie, and I've never caught another muskie here since, and literally the words came out of my mouth, and boom, I had a muskie on. So it's, you know, I guess a muskie spot is one that you can continue, a muskie will continue to use it at some point, so, you know, you do want to go back and continue to hit those spots. What I'm saying is, like, it took literally probably 20 years in between, you know, fishing catches at that spot for me to have that spot produce again. It's just crazy how that works. Like, what was that muskie doing there 20 years ago? How did I get so lucky to have that one that day?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was doing the same thing it does these days, just it's a great spot. It's a good hunting ambush spot. And, you know, back in the day, how we found spots was a paper map and 2D sonar. And on the chain, for the people that don't know it, it's kind of like a half flowage system of lakes, and the basins aren't super deep. So we knew that the basins are here, you know, 12 to 20 feet. And as soon as our sonar read 6 or 6.5 feet, we knew we were in weeds and we knew we were in the spot. And that's pretty much how we found spots. And then later down the road, when I got side imaging on the boat and figured out that places had little inside turns, there was cribs near them, there was also like rock bars and all sorts of cool stuff. And then I would soon realize why those spots were so good back in the day and why they still are so good.
The old nostalgic part of me still wishes that I was using paper maps often, and like you'd come home from fishing and you'd be so jacked up because you caught one or lost one or saw one, and you just have to look, okay, now let's look for more spots on this lake that look like that. And you would actually literally pull out hotspots maps and like many different types of maps to try to search out and learn more that way. And I don't do that ever anymore. It's like, you know, notes. I used to take really good notes on all that stuff too. And I don't do any of that anymore.
Yeah, I try to. I usually put stuff into an Excel sheet, you know, if I remember the weather and the size of the catch and what were you using and water temps and all that stuff. And honestly, with the paper maps, we actually utilize that quite heavily tournament fishing when we go to a new body of water. I mean, we have our units to look at the maps and Navionics online, but at least with the paper map, you can write it down like, oh, this spot has weeds or this spot has rocks and we moved one here. And then you can kind of open the entire map on your pre-fishing, or just if you're going to a new body of water, and you can just kind of make a route, make an ABC list for the best spots. And yeah, I mean, the old one that we have of the chain here, I still have it, and it's got so many Sharpie marks all over it. You know, back when I used to just mark down hits and catches, there's just a, and then I'd color coordinate them. And it was pretty funny what we used to do on that map.
Well, enough about nostalgia. It's fun to think back on first muskies and first baits you used to catch muskies and spots that you used to catch. But let's talk a little bit about baits, because that's kind of what we talk about here. Let's talk about, you got any offbeat baits, not necessarily like the mainstream stuff that helps you put more fish in the net? What's something crazy that very few people use that you use?
Oh, man. I do use a lot of main staples out there. I would say I throw a couple added touches. I mean, for crankbaits, I use some of the mainstays like Grandma's Jakes, Cranes, and Slammers and stuff. But what I do like to do is I usually don't run them straight out of the box, and I will switch out hooks a lot. Not that they come with bad hooks, but I actually want to change the sizes to change the buoyancy, and actually I'll change the sizes on certain parts of the bait to change where I want them to be buoyant. Because actually, if you put a heavy hook on the back of, say, a slammer or something, you basically have a crankbait, side wobbling bait that dives down head first and then rises head up. It's basically a suet that does a little bit more, is what I found. And I do love using crankbaits in a little bit cooler water situations, so slowing the rise of them has been pretty key for me. That's I'd say, I guess, a mod of a bait. Another thing that I like to do around here is I pretty much mess with a lot of bucktails too. I probably only have a couple MEPs and a couple other main staples that I just will use right out of the box. And then a lot of the other main manufacturers, I will take them if say they don't produce right away, or maybe they just don't have that type of grind. I'll take them apart and put different beads below the clevises, change the clevis size. I really like adding a lot of weight so you can bomb cast blades and you can burn them in without having them kind of blow out of the water, because some of the lightweight bucktails will do that if you burn them. Obviously, you want to have a couple of those for slow rolling and keeping it high, but I'd say that's what I for sure do with bucktails. And then I'd say the top bait that did well for me last year, actually, that I wouldn't say a ton of people use around here. I think a lot of people use them, but that was definitely the Beaver's bait. And as some people know, I do like to use tubes a lot, and I use trailer blades on the tubes. So that's the Beaver was just not exactly a bait that I use the trailer blade. I like the way that the bait swam on its own, because it's basically like a hybrid swim bait, pull pause, or straight retrieve. I mean, it's just, I'm just a huge fan of baits that you can pretty much customize right out of the box by only doing a few things, like the Beaver's adding a few weights, taking off a few weights, and putting a trailer blade on the back if you want, and making it pretty much run from the top foot, or using it down, you know, 20 feet in the late fall. So that would probably be one bait for sure.
I thought those were only used in Minnesota, those Beaver baits. That's a Wisconsin thing too?
No, it's a just really, really awesome bait. I really like the way it looks. I like to use swim baits a lot, like swimming dogs. And I love tubes and bulldogs and medusas, and Beaver's baits aren't going to replace those, but they find a sweet spot in the middle that I just like to utilize them for, you know, change ups and, you know, stuff like that.
Sure. Well, since you like to add weight, change weights, you mentioned Suix. Have you played around with any of their new stuff, either the 9-inch high impact that has the adjustable weights? The new for this year is that 10-inch weighted wood that has an adjustable weight kit in it too. And then last year they had the 12-inch weighted wood that had adjustable weight kits. Have you played with any of those things yet?
Yes, I have. Since I'm a huge Suix fan, I'm for sure going to get that 10-inch weighted customized weighting kit with it, the wood one, because I am probably a higher fan of the wood baits. You know, obviously you can get some that run a little funky, but I've found that if you just keep tweaking them, you can get pretty much any Suix to do something and not just run one way or the other. And with those customized, you know, weighting ones, it's just really awesome that you can have them do all sorts of different actions by just unscrewing a weight rather than buying three or four other Suix for different situations. And we did play around with the 12-inch customized weighted one. You said that was last year or 2 years ago that came out?
I think it was last year that it came out. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I know we got them last year, but it might have been 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, whenever that came out, I think we had one or 2 years ago, and we started messing with it in deeper water, putting almost just a crap load of weight on there. We were getting bites and caught some fish and you know, casting over deeper water where we would normally use heavy heads on bulldogs or, you know, some heavier rubber or, you know, situations that you could use something like a mayhem grenade or something. But we found that to work, where you could actually count down a Suix and it kind of has that same dive and rise action. And I know that we found a good weight. I couldn't tell you what exact weights we put in there, but it basically would dive down and then just sit there and then just start to sink very slowly. And it was pretty deadly and over deeper water and some of the clearer lakes. I definitely want to use it more and get that 10-inch weight, customized weighted Suix. I think that would find a very good place in my tackle box.
Yeah, I think so too. I really do like the 10-inch weighted wood, and when I saw that they had the new 10-inch weighted wood with the adjustable weight kits in there, I'm actually like really excited to use that bait this year. I think there's a handful of applications where, you know, like even the weighted wood ones from Suix, I think still rise in some instances kind of a little quick, right? And I'm thinking, you know, by adding that just that little bit of weight, you'll be able to dial it in a little bit. Where if you're fishing late fall, you got negative fish, neutral fish, you know, you can get that bait to just pause and hang right in their face a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because there's a time and place for wood and rubber. You know, I can't remember where I talked about it. I feel like it was might have been. Yeah, I can't remember where I talked about it, but it was. Somebody was asking the difference between wood and rubber. Was that at Milwaukee show? Now that I think about it, maybe.
Somebody asked that.
Yeah. And there's just a time and place for a bait where you, on a pull pause bait, where when you pause it, it sinks, it sits, or it floats. you know, rises up, and that's where you can just have the pretty much all in one for the customized wooden Suix or any of the high impact. You can kind of just do everything in one.
Yeah, that's that typical, you know, muskie. It's a stereotypical muskie talk, you know, like, oh, you gotta let the fish tell you what they want that day, right? And then I don't like it, because what if they're not talking that day? Like, there's days they literally are not telling me anything. So I'm not a huge fan of that whole line. You gotta let the fish tell you what they want. Yeah, but there's literally days where they don't tell me a single thing. I hate that.
Well, they're still saying something. It's just nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess yeah. There's something to be taken, you know, from that no speech or no feedback that they're giving you. I guess at that point they're not liking. But I always look at it like, how do I even know that a fish has seen one of my lures that day? Like, that's the part I have a difficult time with.
That's true. That's when you get no feedback, even on like a late side image follow. Or I mean, there's been days where I found a spot or two on a lake or maybe more, and it's later into the day and I haven't seen anything. I'm like, are they even here? Like, the weather's all right. They shouldn't be being this dumb, but a lot of times they are being just
right. You know, let me ask you, Gus, are you one of these types of guys that has 12 different rods in the front of his boat, or are you one that's looking for like two or three?
Is there a sweet spot in the middle there?
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm probably like a six rod on hand always. You know, I try to have for sure two rubber rods. I use the St. Croix lineup, and a 9-foot X heavy has been, you know, perfect for my liking for throwing pretty much all sizes of rubber. I do use the 8.6 X heavy too for throwing like a reg dog or a ninja tube or a mid Medusa. And then from there, I usually will have probably for sure two bucktail rods, maybe three. That could also work as topwater or jerk baits too. I mean, I'll still work jerk baits on 9 foot six rods. No problem. You just can't go straight down. Obviously, the tip of the rod's going to hit the water too much, and you're kind of going to lose action or lose touch on the bait and maybe miss a fish from having too much slack. But those are another two that I would suggest. It's like a 9.6 heavy, 9-foot heavy, you know, whatever preference you have on height. I know everyone's pushing the 10-footers. I've used a couple. I do like them, but honestly, I'm not a super tall guy. I'm in an aluminum boat tiller. I'm very close to the water. Sometimes a 10 footer gets a little awkward for me. And, you know, I've fished out of a few higher up fiberglass boats and such. And I definitely understand why it's necessary, but I think the length is more on the user preference. And that's something you kind of have to go out and try for yourself and see what you like the best. I would say the actions or the weight of the models are very important. You know, you don't want to overwork a bait, like having an X heavy rod for a 6-inch crankbait. And then you obviously don't want to have a medium heavy for a Meg dog. You know, you got to fill those gaps on having, you know, a couple of each. So I guess if you boil down to two, I would say a 9-foot X heavy and a 9-foot heavy could get pretty much the job done for myself on 98% of the baits that I use.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I've been using the 9-foot six Jerkmaster or Blademaster 2 from St. Croix. I used that quite a bit last year. And then I like the St. Croix rods. I like the grasp. It's cool. But I also did like the Moab from Chaos Tackle. That's a 2020 assault stick for throwing big rubber. Have you ever played with that rod yet?
No, I have not tried that one, and I know a bunch of people that do really like that. Do you have the Moab in a 10-footer or 9.6? Or
I think mine's the 9-foot. When I got mine, I don't think they had anything bigger than that. So now they offer a few different lengths that are longer, but I think it's time it was just a 9-foot, and that works really good for ripping rubber. I'm kind of like you. I don't know if I'd have six. Maybe I have six because I got to have my kids steal a couple of them, and then I always worry that we're going to break something. But I'm probably more of like a three rod type of a guy, I would say. Like the Moab is always one, and then the Blademaster 2 was always one. And then sometimes I have, like last year I used, I want to say it was like the Big Dog. 8'6" extra heavy, I think it was from St. Croix for ripping ripping Suics. My kids were using, a lot of times I'd use like a 7'6" for ripping Suics, but my kids were stealing my shorter rods, so I went with that, and it worked really good, actually. I was pleasantly surprised by it. But, you know, the good thing about musky anglers today is there's so much good gear available, and there's so many good rods, and there's so many good reels that are available for people these days that, I mean, it's almost hard to make wrong choices in a lot of cases.
I agree there. I mean, I've used a ton of different, you know, manufacturers of rods, and really for sure what you're getting on in the higher end stuff is, you know, they're a lot lighter weight, faster action. They're usually built, you know, extremely, extremely well. And you get really good warranties as well. If something, you know, like you step on a guide, which I know just about everybody probably has, we have over the years as well. I've even stepped on them with bare feet and just had enough to break a little eyelet there. And, you know, that is what it is. And yeah, you really can't go wrong with the choices. And like I said before, just find the right lengths that you find appropriate for what you're doing. You know, maybe a 9-footer for you isn't right. Maybe you do want to use an 8-footer if you feel comfortable, or maybe you're really tall and you like to throw a lot of big blades and big rubber. You probably should go with a 9-6 or a 10-footer. So just got to find the sweet spot for yourself.
Definitely. So Gus, last question before I let you go, since we are trying to stick with this shorter form podcast, if somebody wants to listen to 2 hours of a podcast or 2.5, definitely check out Gus's podcast. Like, you guys have no problems rambling for hours, and you know, all the power to you. That's just not something I'm into, but I do listen to your podcast on occasion. I don't always listen to all of them, and sometimes it takes me like a week or more to get through an episode because I can only do like 20 minutes at a time. But if you're, you know, there's a lot of new gear, a lot of new baits that came out for 2024. Like, what's something that you're, I'd say, most excited about?
Something that I'm most excited about that I don't have in my hands yet is I do really want to get a net buddy or something to help with the net, because I've just used a chair on the boat, and then, you know, have the rim of the net over the boat kind of held stationary. And, you know, I do have two TraxTech mounts on each side of the boat. So having a little, whatchamacallit, just one of the net buddies on each side would be really, really beneficial to put the net into and really not have to worry about anything and swing. Because that was the problem with using the chair, is that the handle of the net would just be right across the boat, and the only way to get around from the front to the back or back to the front is step over it. And I have tripped over that, and, you know, because on the side gunnel areas, I usually have sometimes some stuff laying around, or, you know, one side of the boat's got rods and you don't want to obviously step on those. So being able to swing the hoop away and or keep the fish upright and the handle of the net out of the way would be really beneficial. That's something I'm really looking forward to.
Well, this episode will come out after the Minnesota show, and you're going to be in my booth for the Minnesota show. So maybe after the show or during the show, come find me. I know a guy that can definitely get you one of those net buddies. I can definitely help you out with that problem.
Sweet. That would be much appreciated.
Yeah. And there, it's a great piece of gear. I mean, it's definitely it. There's lots of fun gear coming out, you know, whether we have it in stock now or we're going to have it in stock, you know, coming soon. You know, Gus, I even teased to you, there's definitely something new and cool that we're working with a major manufacturer on that should hopefully be like midsummer release. We got to play with it in the pool, you know, we'll call it prototyped, air quotes, and in Milwaukee, and it worked as we thought it would work. So we're moving to the next stages here, and, you know, we're going to get some in the hands of you and a handful of other guides here before we, as soon as the season starts, we should have them, you know, ready to roll for people to get out, get them tested, get them eaten, and then hopefully, as long as that phase goes well, we'll start seeing them midsummer-ish for people. That's probably one that I'm looking forward to. It's definitely going to be a very cool bait. We'll call it new. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. You hinted at it to me, and I think that I'll find definitely a spot in my box. There's gaps that need to be filled on some of my main staples. And, you know, when it comes to switching up some size or profile or stuff, you know, of some baits, that's maybe a change that is needed, or just, you know, somewhere to find, like I said, the gap in your box and just the main staples.
Absolutely. Well, Gus, I appreciate your time. That's, you know, a 32-minute podcast gone by just like that. And I thank you for your time. If people are looking for another podcast outside of this one, outside of our Backlash podcast, there's lots of Muskie podcasts available. Make sure you go check out Gus's Muskies on Tap podcast. Yeah, it's you, Brian is a friend of yours, Max is your brother. It's the three of you guys, mm-hmm. and you typically have new guests on most weeks, I would say. So, you know, and you're available on all the major podcast platforms, I'm assuming.
Correct.
And then, you know, if you're looking for a guide this season, you're up in the Eagle River area, make sure you check out Gus. And if you're looking for gear for your next musky fishing adventures, make sure you check out TeamRhinoOutdoors.com, where your source for custom musky gear, rods, reels, nets, all the latest and greatest. Check us out. And we want to thank everybody for listening to our podcast this week. We will be back with another one. I'll say next week. I'm going to keep it going strong, Gus. I feel it.
That's bold.
Yeah, it is. I'm putting it out there. We're going 3 weeks in a row.
I'm going to hold it to you.
Yep, 3 weeks in a row. So thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week.